Welcome back to part two of our series with Joe from Trucker Joe's. We really hoped you enjoyed part one as much as we did making it. Get ready for more hiking and adventures with Joe. His recommendations for a must-have piece of gear and his selection may surprise you. And no episode would be complete without a safety tip. So lace up them hiking boots and let's do this. She was walking.
Yeah, yeah.
She was walking next to the herd, and you know, of course, this female, she's recording it, and she's probably, I don't know, 10 feet away. That female put her head down to eat some grass, and then just took off at her. Yeah. And she was life flighted, but not because she was dying, but you know, just to get her to, I think it was Wichita Falls. They took her to the hospital, and she made a video about it and stuff. But yeah, like the herds, I wouldn't mess with the singulars, like. I've run into probably six or seven of them, and always out, you know, out kind of in the outskirts of the trails, those solo guys. And I mean, they'll look at you, but they, you know, it just appears they don't care.
Yeah. I mean, but, as long as you're not appearing threatening, you know, of course, you know, obviously they are unpredictable. They're wild animals, right?
So yeah,
that's, we had to initially on the Centennial, we had to contend with a few too, and there were some really big males laying sitting right in the trail. It's like, okay, we're skirting around those guys. So,
yeah,
that was just early on in that trail. Yeah.
One of the, when we first got to Cap Rock, Lori and I, for our second backpacking trip together, we get out of the car and we're unloading, and one of those singular males just kind of walked around the car, and you know, he's scratching himself on the park bench, and Lori's screaming. I'm like, just get in the car, like get in the back of the car. You mm-hmm. know, it's not going to hopefully jump up there. But yeah,
that's, just give them some room, right? That's always, that's my thing with animals. It's like, just got to not be threatening and make sure you give them plenty of room, right? I mean, you're obviously respect their home because you're in it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, like
kind of my feeling on that.
Well, you know, we were talking about just kind of like what hiking kind of means to us. I also noticed, like, if I feel disconnected from Lori, like, you know, sometimes we'll go hiking because, you know, like, you're not going to be on your phone. You're not going to be, you know, you're going to be connect. You're relying on each other. You're, you know, she's the only person that you're going to, I'm going to be talking to, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. There's no kids around. Stuff. So I also, like, I don't know that it happens a lot, but for sure, anytime I feel a disconnect, you know, that's one way that I use hiking, is just even with my kids. Like if we've had a disagreement, you know, they're at an older age, so they maybe sometimes think they know everything. I'll take them out hiking,
and teenagers, huh?
Yeah, we just kind of reconnect that way.
Yeah, I think Robin and I have used it that way a lot too. You know, granted, we don't get to do as much as we can. You know, the other nice thing about us going together is we get to get it like 16 and 17 pound packs because we're splitting everything.
Yeah.
So that's always nice. But yeah, I would totally agree with you on that. It's like you said, you know, reconnection. And that's really important. I think that's one of the reasons she's bringing up, hey, we need to go on a hike. I'm like, yeah, we do. You're right.
Yeah.
So I'm totally in that same boat. Yeah. So, and obviously I use it a lot too for like just gear testing, right? Because we're, you know, I'm figuring out, is this going to work? Is it not going to work? That kind of thing too. So,
yeah.
And I'll give stuff to her. Like, here, take this with you when you go. Like, she just went and did the Eagle Rock Loop recently.
Recently,
in the last few months. But yeah, she went and did it solo. And then, of course, funny story, she had to give me crap because I haven't gone solo. I always wind up with somebody else. You know, even like the Lone Star, I started out solo. And the first day, I ran into somebody I was talking to on Facebook, and we wound up hiking the whole trail together. Like, it wasn't kind of like we knew we were going to be out there at the same time, but I happened to run into him, and then we hiked the rest of the trail together. So I've always wound up with somebody else, even in the attempts to do like solo stuff, right? So
I was interesting. I've never done the Lone Star hiking trail solo, and I was going to do it. I don't remember January. I was good for my 51st birthday. I was going to finish on the 29th, but you know, we had that rain and stuff, and it was going to be a challenge to me because I've been out there when I through hiked it in 2019 with some other guys, but I was always kind of like ahead of them. And man, you get out there at, you know, we would start like at 4 a.m. You get out there and you turn off your headlamp and it's just, and you're by yourself and it's just dark.
Yeah.
And you start hearing
a little creepy.
You start hearing things like, yeah, I hike back to them and turn my light on and hike back to them. I'm like, yeah, I'm not hold doing up. This. But
yeah, night hiking, I don't mind so much, but it can be, it can get kind of creepy. I mean, there are times when I'm like, all right, turn my light on. bright.
You know, I have
if the moon's out, I'll do it, you know, without, but
even
like
even
I think your friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Even with the moon, I'm still like, and
yeah, you know, I do like having the night vision. Like if the moon's bright, I'm okay with that. Like, you know, without a light, but there are times it's like, nah, I need a light still. Yeah.
Oh no. Henning, he's a Marine sniper and yeah, he was trained to, you don't use light for various reasons. And,
obviously in that scenario.
so when he makes me mad, I always turn my light on, 'cause then it ruins his sight for about 10 minutes and he loves that.
But shining right at him.
Yeah, and I have a goal. I don't know that I'll do it this hiking season, but next one for sure, I want to do a 40-mile day. And I've been trying to calculate, and there's no way that I can do it without starting or finishing at night.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so like I'm kind of geeked out of like, oh, I don't want to start at, you know, 3 a.m.
Man, that sounds painful.
Yeah, it's gonna suck.
But a challenge.
Yeah, we did over 30 miles. We think it was 31 just for the heck of it. And
I haven't broken 30. I'm 26.4, I think, is the single in a day, but that was in the Black Hills.
Oh,
up and down, like, you know, 600 foot elevations, and then the end one was like Bear Butte, about 1,000. It's like it's at the very end. So we did the 26, I guess, and had to climb like 1,000 feet up, and the thing was steep and exposed in a lot of places. Like Kyle that was there, he's like, man, this is, I don't know if I like this. It's a long way down right there. So kind of like some of the places out of Quads. Yeah, like the Permian. I think when you're on the Permian, there's some pretty narrow sections.
Yeah, the out at the Quad, or kind of just to come back, yeah, I mean, to have that much elevation gain at 26 miles, that would suck for me. I did it on the Lone Star Hiking Trail, and I was good until mile 28. Then I was just like, I'm done. Like my mind shut down, and I was just tripping over stuff, and I just wanted to get done. I think that
you got to be careful with that, right? You get exhausted like that, and then you trip and fall, and that's injury, right? Especially, you know, getting older, those sorts of things. I mean, I'm right there with you, so
yeah,
I totally get it. I want to avoid that at all costs, right? So.
No, I think to me, the most dangerous trail at Guadalupe Mountains is the El Capitan Trail on the backside, heading to Schumar campsite, and you get into these canyons and it's probably 300 or 400 feet drop. Yeah. The exposure is not that big of a deal. I mean, you're on a trail that's probably 1.5 feet, 2 feet wide. You have that exposure, but it's all overgrown, so you can't see where your foot is going. And there's a few
that sounds places. A little sketchy.
Yeah, there's it's my favorite trail in the park, but it's there was a few places that I literally had to stop and just, all right, it's gonna be okay, and then kind of keep going.
Not for the faint of heart. That's
no. In fact, that trail sucks so bad we decided to hike the 10 miles to the highway and just hitchhike back to Pine Springs. Oh man, Lori was pissed off. I said, I'm with two other people. Like Sam hiked the PCT. He hiked most of the PCT. He's done hitchhiking all the time. And Henning's a trained military person. Like, you know, we're gonna be fine. We're gonna be fine. You know,
there's all the people to be with. Yeah, you sound like you're in good company there, right?
Absolutely.
If anything went south. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I know that has such a stigma anymore, hitchhiking, but I mean, we tried to pick up a ride in the Black Hills when we were up there, and it was like, nobody would stop. We're just like, oh man, I guess we got to do these extra 5 miles that we didn't. We're like, I don't want to do it today, but well, let's just go and get it done. So,
man, and you know, like where we dumped out on that highway, it's 7 miles to Pine Springs, mm-hmm. and you have the worst elevation gain, you know, of that yeah. section right there. And we didn't have any water left. And it was,
did that come out south onto what? I forget what that is.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're coming up from Van Horn, you have that turn.
Yeah.
That connects and then to you the hit highway. That other highway. Yeah. It's just right past that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know where you're talking about. We knew, like, when we dumped out there, I'm like, okay, all the cars that are going to be passing us are going past Pine Springs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're here at a national park. So hopefully, you know, the only thing is that there's three of us. Maybe somebody would be like, oh, I don't want to pick up three people. But
yeah, the guy did. And, I know. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's nice. At least somebody did. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was even messaging.
That's a pretty decent road walk.
Yeah. I was even messaging the Guadalupe Mountain Facebook page for anybody at the park to give us a ride. And we met this ranger there, and we were on this last trip, and we were talking about that, and they were like, that was y'all? And I'm like, yeah. And they go, yeah, we saw that on Facebook. And I'm like, and you didn't come help us?
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, wow. Wow, I mean, what are rangers for?
Poor person. Yeah. Yeah, right. So, yeah, we're still in the park.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, and just in Texas, what's your favorite uh-huh. state park or national park?
That's a tough one. I've got some nostalgic ones, right? Enchanted Rock, obviously, is a big nostalgic one. Because
okay, you just, can have one, your favorite nostalgia, and your I don't know, like, whatever is not a nostalgia.
So that one's the nostalgic one, right? In Chattanooga, because I grew up going there. But I mean, I want to say Guadalupe's too, just because it's such a different terrain.
Yeah.
Than really kind of what we get everywhere else in Texas. I mean, you actually are in mountains, and some of the most beautiful views in the state, in my opinion. I mean, now there's some great views in the hill country. There's some great views around here. There's some great views down at the coast. I mean, there's such.
There is nothing like terrain. Guadalupe. Yeah. I've got pictures and I'll put them up against Big Bend or mm-hmm. Paladuro.
Yeah, Big Bend, I like too. It's up there. Yeah. We went to Big Bend a lot too. Like every Christmas would be kind of a thing. But it's up there, but it's. I like the remoteness and the ruggedness of the Guads. Now, sometimes I get like, oh, man, I got to carry all this water again. But. Yeah. Having said that, it's still a challenge, and I like the challenges, and I like getting out there and challenging myself, like, you know, getting a little overzealous on mileage, like, oh, we can make that, and then, oh my gosh, it's 3 hours after dark and I haven't made it to camp yet, you know. So it'll teach you lessons and humble you pretty
oh yeah
pretty well.
She will put mm-hmm. you in your place.
Mm-hmm, yeah, with a quickness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that and just, you know, all of that. I mean, now I know it's not actually part of the park itself, but the Lincolns, you know, the Lincoln National Forest above that too.
Man, we drove through to get to Dog Canyon. I pulled mm-hmm. up the side of the road because I couldn't imagine that this is, I mean, it was beautiful. Like there's a canyon that you drive next to and it's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. I think there's a road there in Queens that goes up Cougar Lane or something. Mm-hmm. It's like 541 or 542, something like that. And it's a gravel road for like 10, 15 miles, 20 miles, and it'll take you back up on top. That's a really cool drive. There's some really nice views up there. The Vista, I think it's a Vista viewpoint or something like that.
No.
But you get up in there and there's a circle just at the end, and you're actually like right on the GRT, you know, the Guadalupe Ridge Trail that goes right through that parking lot. So
I need to do that trail
in that area.
That
thing, I've got a love-hate relationship with that.
Have you done it?
Yeah, I did it. Actually wound up doing that with Kyle. That was Kyle and I's first hike. And man, you talk about overgrown. That's probably one of my toughest hikes I've done anywhere, including like Colorado or anything else.
And you cached water?
Dry. We cached water in a couple of places, but there's a spot there where you have to rely on, I think it's Aqua Dulce. It's a couple of cattle tanks that are out there just out in the middle of nowhere. And we relied on that, but we came down the mountain, like the last part of that coming down to that, if you're going from like north to south, there's a section there where it's about 900 foot descent or 1,000 foot descent.
Yeah.
Kind of straight down a mountain almost. And there's no trail to speak of out there, really. I mean, Guadalupe Ridge Trail, I'm doing air quotes for those that can't see, but yeah, it's a lot of that trail. Now, you do get to a part where there's some Jeep and ATV kind of tracks and stuff like that, but a lot of that trail early on, once you pass like Carlsbad Caverns,
yeah,
and backcountry in Carlsbad, and then the northern sections of the Lincoln, it's like a 50-year-old Jeep trail that nobody's been down. So there's no trail to speak of. So a lot of it is wayfinding and making sure, you know, you're on the right path. I mean, the only thing out there is, I think Kyle's wearing like shorts the first day, and he's like, man, I should not have done that. His legs were torn up because you're bushwhacking a lot of the way on that trail.
Yeah.
And you're looking for the next cairn. So it's like the grass is grown up and the bushes are grown up. It's like, oh, there's a cairn, you know, like as you get to it. Like, so yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, that was like, I think that's, it was probably one of the toughest things I've done. We actually wound up doing that one in sections because it just beat us up so bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say about the water place. Sorry. Is you come down that steep descent and we were kind of running behind on our mileage. I think Kyle was probably okay, but I was a little out of shape at that point in time. So not that I'm in now, but not in any better, but a little bit better in shape, but, I just pushing the miles. We wound up hiking in the dark like every single night on that thing, like for several hours in the dark.
And then you're having to set up tents.
Yeah. Then you're having to set up tents and exactly. Find a campsite in the dark. And so we were coming down that last descent into like that little canyon where the water tanks were. And we've been out of water for a couple hours at this point. And we could not find the cattle tanks in the dark. We just simply could not find them. We were like, where are they? And I'd talked to somebody, you know, previously. He's like, yeah, you can see them when you're coming down. But well, when you're coming down in the dark, you can't see anything.
Oh, my God.
We totally missed them. So we were just like, oh, man. It was a couple of hours we spent looking around for them, couldn't find them. And then anyway, we finally decided, well, this is going to be a crappy night. We'll just lay down and try to get up early and see them in the daylight. So we laid down and heard some creepy noises and it's like, what was that? And then I think Kyle and I were both kind of looking at our phones, trying to figure something out. And it was like 12:30. And he's like, hey, there's some notes in this thing where this water mark is. So we popped open the notes on the, like I'd taken a GPX, you know, on the internet, found it, that kind of thing. But so we opened the notes and the notes on the water, like mark were 400 meters east of northeast of here, something like that. I'm like, oh, well, draw a line on Gaia because I was using Gaia GPS at that point in time. We drew a line on there. I'm like, well, it's about there. He's like, let's go check it out. So we walk over there. And again, it's about 12:30 in the morning at this point in time. We walk over there and we're like, oh, we found the two water tanks finally in the tap. So man, we just, I think probably drank 2 liters right there on the spot. After filtering it, obviously, but yeah, and then load it up. So we finally found the water, but that was kind of evening.
So how far was it from where y'all were originally laying down or setting up camp?
Probably, I don't know, 600 to 700 meters, something like that.
Yeah.
So it was, we kind of wound up tucking, we went back up in the canyon a little bit to kind of tuck into some low spot down. There was a wash down there and some lower areas. It was the flat areas. But further out towards the mouth of it was kind of where the tanks were. So it was a little ways away from us. It just, we hadn't gone quite that far out yet because we thought it was further in. So that was a rough night.
But you think about like these types of things and, you know, and, you know, stuff like that happens, you gain experience, you know, but like sometimes, like, you hear about that guy that that it just happened, I think it was in October, where he got lost at Guad. You know, like
the older gentleman.
Yeah, the older gentleman.
Yeah, it was. I was lost for several days out there too.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to have him on the podcast. But like,
yeah, I've always kind of wondered what that story was. That's
and like for me, like, you know, you guys face this, and okay, and it's interesting how you react. Like, you know, you guys could have panicked, and it could have went way worse. Versus, you know, having a calm head and just saying, okay, you know, let's kind of reevaluate what we're doing, where we're at, or, you know, yeah, we'll be okay. Let's just, you know, in the morning we'll check it out. But like, you know, and when I'm in the Guads, so I've hiked the whole park. I never thought that somebody would get lost. Like, cause you always have, like, if you have a knowledge of the park, you always have, like, from line of sight. Very seldom do you not have line of sight to Guadalupe Peak, or so you know, okay, in this direction I need to kind of head. And you know, and he got lost kind of in the backside of the park, and we were there probably 2 weeks after he found him. Just we had had that section planned out, and so we were back there, and yeah, it's just like, so for me it's going to be, you know, I talked to his daughter, and she was like, yeah, you know, certainly you can reach out to him, you know, there would be no issues. But yeah, I it would just be so interesting, like, how that happened. Like, you know, did you not have like an app, did you, you know, your phone, you know, stuff like that? Because yeah, it kind of floored me that you know, especially out in that section, that would happen. And yeah, man, I was worried.
That's like those decisions, right? They start, you know, they impact your next decision sometimes, and the next one and the next one. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's, that's one of the things that I've always tried to, like, and I think even my hiking buddy Todd, you know, run out of water a couple of times out in the Guads, not intentionally, obviously, but you know, no. It can happen. And it's not a great feeling. It really isn't, like, knowing, like, oh man, I really need hydration and we don't have any. Like, you know, we were expecting some cattle tanks to be full and they weren't. So like, I've never been by them when they're not full either. So it just, you know, there's things that happen, you know? No. And so, yeah, you have to, one, understand, like, okay, what happens in the eventuality that this does happen, right? Or you get lost or whatever. So, I mean, yeah, you know, not taking hiking, don't be complacent about it, for sure.
Well, it's like I had in a couple of other episodes, like, you step on the trail, you know, you should have an understanding that stuff can go horribly wrong pretty quick. And you should have tried to walk through in your mind, you know, if this happens, this is what I'm going to do. This happens, what I'm going to do. Like that lady Inchworm, you know, the 65-year-old woman that was hiking the AT, she stepped off the trail to use the restroom, and they found her, you know, they found her 3 years later, had she had passed away. And then she started, like, just started making bad decisions, and, you know, she started a fire, and then she was worried that the fire would get out of control. If I'm lost and about to die, sorry trees, we're gonna have a Laminat control burn here.
Here's some smoke. What's going on over there?
Exactly. You know, and
I mean, obviously, like, don't want to burn a forest down, but yeah, it's, you know, yeah, there's situations that warrant.
No, I'm going to do a control burn. It won't be out of control.
Yeah, there you go.
But no, it's, you know, just like, and you start reading her story, and it's one bad decision, then another one, then another one, and you start down that path, and a lot of times you're not coming back. You know?
Yeah, it can certainly happen fast. I mean, I've been thankful that, you know, those kind of situations, we've managed to kind of keep a cool head and figure something out. Like the second time I ran out, the cattle tanks were empty. We wound up, like, I was just taking my time and looking at the map. It's like, oh, well, this says there's a spring over here. I know it's a desert. The chances of it having water are probably pretty low, but we wound up hiking down into, I think it was Devil's Den Canyon up there in the Lincolns. And that had a pool of water, thankfully.
Jeez.
How long have you been sitting there? I don't know, but we pre-filtered it and
That's what Sawyer's for.
Yes, indeed. It sure is. And I was just surprised that there was like water down there. And I was like, oh, thank God. Because, you know, it had been a couple hours again at that point, you know, just searching. Like we went well out of our way, out of our planned route to try to find water.
Can you imagine if you didn't find water?
Yeah, that's and right. It had been very bad, bad experience. I'll say that. I mean, it was already bad enough.
We're just going to hit the SOS on this.
I mean, that's one of the good things about having those is, yeah, you get into a situation that you can't control or things have gotten out of hand like that. And man, I mean, it might cost you some money at the end of the day, but that can be made back or whatever.
Did I share that, that YouTube with that hiker Dixie? Yeah. She showed like what happens after you hit the SOS and the cost. It was, what was it, 80,000 or 60,000? And she luckily had taken out the insurance.
Yeah.
I
definitely recommend having that.
Oh, absolutely.
If you can afford it, you know, if you can't, you know, that the cost of, you know, what do you value your life at, right?
Yeah. True. So,
I'm going to try to extricate myself, obviously, but you know, if it gets to the point where you can't, then, and that's a good thing, is like thinking ahead of time, what is that point?
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
What is that point? Yeah.
Yeah. What you can afford.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that might dictate it too.
I'm going to do that next to a road.
I'm never hitting that button. Uh-huh. It's like, yeah, I don't know about that, but.
Yeah, it would, I think, I don't know what it would take for me to hit the button.
Probably something broken, I would think. Yeah. Or, you know, like, what is it, Becker? I don't really want to bring up, you know, name drop stuff, but yeah, what is that, Dan Becker, where he had the rhabdo? You know, something like that.
Oh,
where
it's
okay, this ain't getting better. You know, I've got something broken, or there's some kind of ailment that's really bringing you down.
Yeah, that was when he was in the Grand Canyon, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they were hiking from rim to rim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an interesting one too, because that's you know, don't overexert yourself either, right? That brought that on, kind of, is what it looked like.
So, yeah.
I mean, you say that, but you get into situations where it's like, sometimes you don't really have a choice. You know, you've got to push.
Every time I hike, I overexert myself.
Well,
just because I'm not in shape. Yeah,
you start getting there. It's like, oh man, this hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a good hurt, right?
All my hiking partners. So Sam, he lives in New Mexico. He's he's in his 30s. Henning is here. He's in his 30s. John is in Washington. He's 40, I think, or 41. Yeah. So they're all considerably younger than me. And so, yeah, I'm the last person to hit the peak. I'm the last person to get back to camp. So,
yeah, I have been too. Todd's a fast hiker. They're both taller. I'm like 5'8", maybe. So.
Yeah.
I'm not. The guys that I've hiked with a lot, Todd and Kyle. Kyle's like 29 or 30 or something, but I think he was 29 when I met him. He's probably a little bit older now. Obviously, time's passed, but probably he is. But I don't know his exact age. Anyway, the point of that was that, you know, he's younger, so he's definitely got he's got the better stamina, right, to go. And Todd's just probably the most stubborn person I've met, right, in terms of like, I've made my mind up, I'm doing that regardless. So those guys, yeah, they outpace me a lot. But that was one of the funny things on the Centennial. It's like, man, this dude keeps following us back here. Like, like, this guy's just, he's persistent, but he's back there. He keeps following us. So it's because they were always outpacing me. So I'd be at the back of the pack.
Oh, I'm always at the back. Yeah, I'm going to have Todd on a podcast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So what's your favorite trail in Texas and why?
Favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I got to think about that one. I think in terms of challenging, it was the GRT.
Yeah.
But if we're talking like just in Texas, because that kind of spans New Mexico too. I really like McKittrick.
Yeah.
Man, it's a beast going up it, but coming down it is just, man.
Up to the notch, views, up to the ridge.
Yeah. Yeah. The views on McKittrick, like Dog Canyon to kind of McKittrick and yeah. down to Pine Spring, not Pine Springs, but McKittrick Station. That section of that is just, because you're kind of up right in the middle of it. Now, I haven't been around to the outsides of the parks like Capitan and stuff like that. I've done the peak and stuff like, you know, mm-hmm. did that. But the peak's a cool view from out towards the south. But I really like kind of being up in the middle of it. And that was, yeah. I think, just kind of that McKittrick Ridge right there is probably one of my favorite spots.
And it has a cool little saddle that you can cross, you know, mm-hmm. that you see. Yeah, I like that. Oh, crap. This is going to be not good. But then when you get there, it's not that big of a deal.
It's not, it looks like you're losing quite a bit of elevation, but you really don't. Yeah. But yeah, that's a pretty cool spot. And that's like just up from the notch, if I recall.
Yeah. All right. So now that we are starting to wrap this up, and I think you mentioned it, but what's been your most difficult hike backpacking trip? GRT?
Yeah. I mean, even with the mileage that we were pulling at the end of the Centennial.
Yeah.
Which was more than I had done, right? So I was kind mm-hmm. of pushing myself, which was a cool challenge. But yeah, the GRT, if we're just to kind of constrain it to Texas, the GRT for sure, and New Mexico, Texas, right? Because it's across the border. That one kind of spans two states. But yeah, that one's been definitely the most challenging of all. Just
because of the mileage, logistically, yeah.
It's the remoteness, the roughness of it, the fact that there's like hardly a trail on a lot of it, right? Yeah. So you're doing wayfinding a lot of the way. It's like, oh, hey, we're the green line's way over there. You know, thankfully you got the cell phone with the app on it and the offline apps or the offline maps that you can download. But yeah, that one was probably the most challenging. We were kind of gung ho, like, yeah, we're gonna do this, and it beat us down. I had to go back and do that thing in like three sections. So yeah, it kicked my butt. That's why I say I have a love-hate relationship with it, because I don't want to go back and do it all in one shot. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, really don't want to. Just it's so rough.
Like, do you ever get out there and like, I'm out in the quads and, you know, like doing the quad, mm-hmm. you know, that was probably the hardest hike I've done. And I've, you know, like hiked 14ers and,
right,
same Colorado here. And stuff, and it was hard. And I'm like, but out those, there thinking,
the 14ers, like, they all have it's nice trails, you know,
yeah,
well marked trails, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
and you know, I'm sitting there, you know, like traversing over to Bartlett or something. I'm like, man, I could be like in bed right now, chilling with Lori, watching TV. Yeah. Like, what the heck am I doing? It's 19 degrees outside,
but then you look around. Right.
Like, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. It's a really cool. It's cool to be able to get to that kind of those kinds of places, right? Where you have that view and you can look around. That's just, to me anyway. I love that part of it.
Hey, I'm trying to think that the quad is probably the hardest hike that I've ever done.
Yeah, I've kind of had that one in the back of my mind. Like, I kind of want to do it, but I don't know. I feel like I need to be in a little bit better shape to try to knock that thing out in a day.
Yeah, shape-wise, for sure. And, like, I kind of lucked out because Henning, he can navigate. And Sam's brother was with us, and he's a pretty good navigator. So I let them
I can do that fairly well myself.
Yes, Sam and I, we let them go ahead in case they got cliffed out. They could turn around and we wouldn't waste all that. I hiked the old man style.
I hear you.
And some people just got
go figure it out.
Yeah, some people just got cliffed out there right before that gentleman got lost, and they had that rescue for him. They had a rescue out there, and I think it was some kids that were trying it, and they got cliffed out, and they couldn't get up, couldn't get down, and they had to call for help. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, there's definitely been a few instances of that. That's in Devil's Den Canyon, right? Unless I think this might kind of go into kind of what, you know, the next piece of this, but, and so maybe I'll just save it for that if you want to ask your question. But there's a Todd and I tried to get out. We tried to get an escape vector, right? Mm-hmm. Or just understand that that's okay. We've got water now. We're good, right? And I'm talking about the time when, like, the second time I ran out of water out there. So we're looking like, how can we extricate ourselves? How can we get out of here, right?
No.
Yeah, there might be a little bit of private land, but I think if we cross it to get to the road, then, you know, okay, it's, you know, I don't, obviously don't want to suggest traversing across somebody's land, especially out there. But, you know, in a situation where you're trying to, you know, get out of something or solve yourself, then, you know, I'd rather ask forgiveness than maybe permission at that point in time.
Right.
But we got to a point where it said there was a trail on some of our mapping software, but it was not a trail. There was really, and it was starting to get a little sketchy, and it's like, okay, we got to turn back, man. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be the next person on the news, that kind of thing, if you know, if we can help it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we actually wound up backtracking all the way back out of that canyon, back up to, like, up top.
Oh, so, man.
Yeah. And luckily, hiking buddy Todd had a friend that was a few hours away, so he came and picked us up, so, which was really cool of him. But I think I still owe him some bags or something for that.
Yeah,
like, man, I'm gonna give you something for this just to repay you. But yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I mean, we had water at that point, so we probably could have done. The reason we decided to bail out of that was the next day was going to be like 90 mile an hour winds. And yeah, and we were going to be on some kind of stuff that was unfamiliar, not necessarily a trail on some of it to get back, you know, but that wasn't inside the park either. But yeah, we were like, yeah, don't, you know, that, again, it was a safety decision, you know, at that point in time. It's like, you know, I don't really want to be out on that ridge in 90 mile an hour winds and then, you know, scrambling down something, you know, where we're. So it's just making those decisions, right? It's, you know, what's going to be the safe thing to do here.
Yeah. Have you done El Cap Peak?
I have not. I haven't actually been out there.
Oh, you got
to
do
that. I don't want to, but yeah. Yeah. I'll have to go check it out.
All right. So the next question. So Henning came up with this idea. We were out, I think we were climbing, and he's like, oh, in your podcast, you need to, you know, have the guest kind of talk about, or what's their favorite piece of gear? So, Joe, what's your favorite piece of gear? Like, if I'm a new hiker backpacker, what piece of gear are you gonna sell me that I need to have?
Let's see. I mean, overall, what is my favorite piece of gear? Not to be self-promoting, but I mean, the water bottle sleeves are, it's a big, big game. It definitely is. It just makes it more convenient.
No.
And they're designed for the smart water bottle. So if you're running something else, then, you know, it might not work out. But other than that, like, if we're talking just overall something, I really like to try to get things that are multifunctional.
Yeah.
So if I can use it for multiple things, that's kind of where I try to target a lot of gear. So, I mean, overall, that's a hard question.
So Hennings was a buff.
Yeah.
My piece of gear is the water shoulder holder.
Yeah.
And you got to come up with one. So, okay. So while you're
saying this, I think I know. I think I know.
Okay.
My favorite piece of gear is the Zoleo, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I've been able to use that in situations to find information out from maybe somebody back home with the satellite communication.
Okay.
So that's been very helpful for me in a lot of scenarios, in a lot of situations. Yeah.
Okay. So that
brand, just that, itself. Just having that. Well, that brand specifically, yeah. But I mean, any of the satellite communicators, I think. I mean, one, you have the security of being able to get help if you need it, right? It allows you some communication where in places, you know, with the satellites that you know, especially like the quads, for instance, right?
Yeah,
there's places you get, you don't have any cell reception at all. So it's, to me, that's been like very, very helpful. Yeah.
And also, like, don't just have it, know how to use it.
Yeah. Test it out beforehand. I mean, I did everything. Like, you know, I think when you buy one, it gives you there's a way to test the 911, test the SOS stuff. So make sure you go through and do all of that stuff. Yeah. Test it
out. Pretend
that
you don't have cell service. Exactly. And what's going to happen.
Exactly.
And know
how to use it. Yeah.
All right. Sure. So the next question, I think, is probably one of my most important questions that I ask all the guests. Is just, if I was a brand new hiker backpacker, what is one piece of safety advice that you would give me if I was starting this journey?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think as we've talked about, like, this whole thing, we've talked about these different scenarios, right? You get into scenarios, and sometimes it's things you can't control. You get outside of things you can't control. I mean, obviously you want to start out doing things as much as you can under control, right? Yeah. But those situations do arise, right? Don't think they don't. That's the biggest thing, I think. And so with that being said, you know, you're getting into those situations, I think in my mind, it's know how to use a map and compass. Take an orienteering course, right? Understand how to navigate and get out of somewhere if you have to. Modern technology is great. It's amazing what it can do. You can see 3D maps of stuff, but that stuff can fail too. So, you know, having the analog way to do that, or knowing how to use it, is, I think, to me, you know, you can get yourself out of situations if you need to.
Yeah, you know,
right?
Yeah, you could drop your phone in the water. You could don't have a charger. I was in the backcountry.
It's too cold at night.
Yeah.
Right? And your battery, it drains your battery.
That happened to me in the Quads, and I have a video about it. Guy got lost, I forgot my hat. I forgot to charge my phone. I forgot my charger for my phone. No, I had my phone. I forgot to charge my phone. I forgot the charger. I didn't have my hat. And I didn't have a spoon. I forgot. And, like, we're day hiking, and it was going to be a 16-mile day, and I don't have any of this stuff. Not a cloud in the sky. Oh, man, I was but, yeah. And, you know, and it's not very difficult to just print out a map. Like, you can – there's so many –
Yeah, I always have a paper map backup.
Yeah, there's so many ways to – there's so many – websites or apps where you can go and you can download that section and print it out, and it's like and I did one on hiker safety, and like I play a game on the Lone Star Hiking Trail, first off, because I know the trail so well that, you know, like, you know, I have an idea where I'm at. You know, I'll start hiking and I'll kind of calculate like how fast I've been hiking or what roads I've crossed, and then on the map just kind of pick where I think I am and then look at the phone and, you know, like, oh, I'm there or I'm not there, and try to use different — sometimes I just use landmarks that I've crossed because I know the map because I've studied it before I started hiking, or sometimes I use like what miles per hour I think I'm at and don't use the landmarks and just and just play around with that. Just play a little game.
And that's, I mean, part of that orienteering, right, in my mind is understanding, like you said, on the Lone Star, you kind of know where you are and you kind of know where roads are. You know how, like, which way at a certain point you need to go to get out, right? That's just kind of an escape vector, right? I think is, like, some terminology for that sometimes is, like, where can I go to, you know, which way do I need to go from here to get out of here?
Right,
especially if you're getting into something remote, and, you know, again, it's — I mean, Todd and I found out that, okay, we couldn't go that way, so it's like, oh crud, you know, things can go south, you know, real easily. So I mean, to me, just being able to — and you, I mean, you know, learn it and practice it, but have a basic understanding of how to use a topology map and a compass, in my mind. I mean, that's —
yeah, and I it's like,
save yourself a lot of headache. Yeah,
you don't have to be an expert. I'm by far I can't even hardly spell map, but just going out there every Sunday and playing that game, it really helps me to kind of like to get in tune with these types of things. And, you know, if something did ever happen, you know, I would feel comfortable. I wouldn't panic, and I would be able to, I think, get myself out of the situations. And I started doing a little bit of that in the quads too. Just, you know, I have the map, I have my phone, the map, and just get on a trail and just kind of start, you know, cause it's a lot different when you start to have elevation, you know, your miles per hour and
these, you got things these that are impassable.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, which can change your like, ooh, that's not going to work. Can't go that way.
For sure. Was there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we wrap it up?
Not really. I think we've got this year. I think some of our plan is to get out a little more in the community in Austin, in the area.
Yeah.
To try to get a little more involved with like some of the events for the Great Springs and things like that. But just looking around local, you know, to try to spread the word that way too, you know, for something.
Yeah, and definitely let me know. I'd like to come visit or come support any way I can.
Yeah, so I think the other thing too is just we every single customer we appreciate wholeheartedly, right? Because this is, you know, we are trying to turn this into something that is you know, going to support everybody out there, right?
Yeah.
In terms of can they rely on gear, right? Or having something that's going to be durable for them, that's going to last a while, right? Because that's with the ultralight stuff specifically, it's like you get into, there's a kind of a line there. You get too ultralight, it's like, okay, it's going to fall apart quickly. You know, you hope not, but you know, the lighter and lighter materials you go, there is that risk. So we try to balance that line very, very closely if we can. I mean, that's the way to put it, but.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, and give us the website one more time.
Trekkerjoes.org.
All right. So I definitely want to thank you. This was one of the episodes I was looking forward to. And I think, you know, the gear speaks for itself. You guys are doing a great job. So I definitely, for me, want to support you guys. I'm glad we were able to work it out. This recorded, and I greatly appreciate your time. I know you're busy, husband, always, father, running a business, doing the consulting work. I mean, golly,
two jobs basically.
Yeah, but no, we definitely need to one weekend is meet up and hike together. I think you're my first guest that I've never hiked with, so we gotta remedy that.
I know, right. We do, and the funny thing is, we've been in the Facebook groups for forever together as well.
Yeah,
without really knowing it ahead of you know before, like the whole garage. Wait a minute, that's okay.
Yeah, that was
before that.
I had a giggle about that, so I was already buying your products.
It is pretty funny. My cart. I like that too. So thank you so much for the support too, and kind of everything. You know, anybody out there spreading the word is like, you know, they're here in our hearts. So we greatly, greatly appreciate that.
No,
thank you.
Absolutely.
And thanks for having us on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, like again, you can't, guys, keep it up, and I'm going to support you as much as I can for sure.
Thank you. That's really cool.
We are going to wrap this up. I want to, Joe, thanks again for coming on. I'm glad we were able to work this out. And
yeah, I finally got the schedules lined up.
That's right.
I've had a lot of fun. It's been good talking to you. So
yeah. So all right. Well, have a good one. And to all the listeners, get out and enjoy this upcoming weekend. Hopefully you're outdoors or enjoying your hobbies and have a good one. Later.
Yeah, take it easy. Have a good one. Thanks a lot.